Leander, are you there?
Yeah.
Tell me something about your Pomeranian, your mom's Pomeranian.
He's fluffy.
That's what I needed to know. Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah, and I'm here with my friends and Apple savants, Alex E. Heath. Hey, Alex.
Hello.
And I'm here with Leander Keeney as well, editor, chief of cultamac.com. Hello, Leander.
Hey, hello, Erfan.
And I tried to make that opening as animated as possible. Did it sound a little silly?
It's getting really ridiculous.
Yeah, it's.
I need to. I'm gonna have to tone it down. I'll just be like, "Hello and welcome to the Cultcast."
Right. Yeah.
The best 30-minute Apple news show you're going to hear all week.
Long.
Long. Hey, before we start, I want to mention this show is sponsored by the fine folks at DigiDNA, the makers of Discade 5, the iPod, iPhone, and iPad transfer tool for Mac and PC. We're going to tell you a little bit about them later in the show and their great software, Discade 5, and what it does and what you can use it for, and also how you can win a license. And also, you're going to be able to save 30% off your license if you want to buy the pro version, cuts a hefty sum off the price. And I thought we could start with a question today, guys. This comes from our Facebook page. And if you guys want to leave us a question or a comment on our Facebook page, you can do so. It's facebook.com/TheCultCast. This one comes from Ryan Biniecki. I'm having deja vu. I feel like I've read this before, Leander.
Yeah, me too. I feel like I've heard it before. Anyway, let's get on with it.
He says, "Cultcast, I'm torn. I'm currently making HD videos for YouTube, and my crappy Windows laptop," he could have just said Windows laptop there, "is on its last legs." That joke was funnier the first time, I think. "I was going to buy a new iMac, but with the rumor that they may be delayed, I'm thinking about getting something temporarily." Sorry. So I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable there. He's thinking about getting a MacBook Pro in order to hold over for an iMac. Alex, what are your thoughts on this? Good idea? Should he get something in the meanwhile?
No, just hold out.
Okay, Eeyore.
No, I just...
No, just hold out.
No.
I think your advice was sound. It was just the way you said it. I was like, geez, dude.
No, you all right? Like, listen, I don't know our fond listener, but if you can wait. I mean, it's going to be a month or two. Like, the delay was, so it may be early January instead of late December. So, I mean, it's really not worth, in my opinion, getting a temporary computer for, what, a few weeks. So, and there's no definite word that they're going to be delayed. You know, that's just the rumor. So Apple could come out in like 2 weeks and say, "Hey, we got pre-orders up. They're shipping before the holidays." I would wait. I would definitely wait.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. I mean, getting a temporary computer, who does that? if you have the money to do it, dude, send me some money.
Yeah, he probably
he's going to buy a temporary computer.
He wants an excuse to get another one.
Yeah,
I think,
and right? I get that. He's probably really excited about it.
Yeah. And the MacBook Air is a beautiful little computer, but I don't know if it's really suitable for making HD.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking too. I mean, right, because it doesn't have a dedicated graphics chip. And if you're going to be making HD videos, he specifically said HD, then yeah. I would not go a MacBook Air because it's going to get choked up on really heavy duty HD stuff. I would either get a MacBook Pro and call it good and not go with an iMac, or wait and get an iMac, because an iMac is going to be super, super exactly what you need.
Right.
It's a perfect movie machine. So
yeah.
Hey guys, let's cover a little bit of news. I want to congratulate all of our Brazilian listeners. Because now after they get their Brazilian wax, they can go
beautiful
to their,
people.
very beautiful people. I agree. And some of our biggest listeners, so I want to say hello to them. They can go to their local Apple store in Rio de Janeiro. They're building an Apple store in Brazil. And this was surprising to me because, you know, I'm sure you guys know this. Brazilian people are huge Apple fans.
Mm.
I mean, they're one of our biggest audience. And I'm surprised that they haven't had an Apple store there until we don't know when this store is going to be built, but it's shocking to me they don't have one already.
Well, they actually build the products there, don't they? Foxconn has a big factory.
Yes, they do. And that's a new factory too, right? So I guess it makes sense to build a store there. So
we have a buddy. One of my buddies is an editor of a Mac magazine. He was telling me they pay like something like 4 times the price for Apple products in Brazil than they do here in the States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because Brazilians come here for vacations a lot, they often stock up. You know, it's cheaper to go buy them to fly here on a 12-hour flight, buy, you know, your iPod and then fly back than it is to get it in their home country.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. And I was asking some people on Twitter when we were talking about this back and forth where they get their stuff from now. And I guess there's certified Apple resellers there. So I was like, okay, that makes sense. Hey, speaking of the Apple Store, I thought this was hilarious, especially because we were just talking about this before the show. If you want to make a Genius Bar reservation for your Apple iPhone, now before you do, Apple's going to make a suggestion that will fix 90% of pretty much all your problems. And all you do is you take your finger and you put it on the power button, and then you hold it until that little swipe to power down comes on your screen, and you restart your phone, and lo and behold, that will probably fix your problem. I thought this was funny because, you know, like, have you guys ever seen the show The IT Crowd?
No.
A little
you
bit.
Haven't? It was a Leander, you haven't seen it? It's a British comedy.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it, and it, you know, one of my friends was raving about it. You got to watch this show, and I watched about 10 minutes. It was so thunderingly unfunny that I didn't watch anymore.
Well, I liked it, and there was a guy in there who answered his phone, and he wouldn't even say hello. He would just be like, "Have you tried restarting it yet?" just the very first thing out of his mouth.
And he
would hang out because that always fixed the problem. And Leander, you're notoriously guilty for not restarting your computer.
Yeah, but well, I, you know,
and you always have problems, and I'm like, have you restarted your computer? And you're
I was over at my dear old mother's the other day, and she had problems with her computer downstairs, her laptop, her iPad, and this internet radio that I gave her a few mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. Restarted every single one, every single problem solved.
It's amazing that works, right? And I do it with my router. I do it with every piece of equipment I have in my home. It's like that usually fixes it. Now if you want to make an appointment, that's going to be the first thing that Apple's going to ask you to do before you even get to talk to a human.
Aren't they making it mandatory? I mean, that it's going to be mandatory, isn't it?
I think it's a very strong suggestion. Because imagine how many people take their phone into the Apple Store and the genius resets it and hands it back to them. And they're like, oh, my gosh, it's working.
Yeah, job done.
Can you imagine how many face palms happen in the back room of Apple headquarters?
Well, if you sit at the Genius Bar, there's always someone that comes up and has like, you know, how do I turn the volume up? Or, really, really basic. How do I charge this up? That kind of stuff. I've been flabbergasted at the kind of things that people ask about.
If that could be a form of hell, you die and you end up at a Genius Bar where the only problems you're solving are ones that are like the absolute most basic functions of the phone. Like, how do I can't get to the icons on my screen. I think it's broken. You're like, did you slide to unlock? And they're like, what?
Yeah. You hear that a lot.
Alex, you wanted to mention something about HTC and Apple playing together nicely when it comes to patents. And this is kind of a nice story because we don't hear this very often. Do you care to tell us more about it?
Yeah, it's very, very uncharacteristic of Apple and a good sign for the rest of the industry. But yeah, Apple and HTC recently reached a 10-year licensing agreement over, you know, some people may know this. If you read Cult of Mac, you know this, that HTC and Apple have been in the courtroom for the past couple of years over patents, kind of like Samsung and Apple. It's been a more low profile of a case, but it's still been a very expensive, drawn out, tedious, you know, Apple sued them over patents and HTC sued back, and it's been going on and on. And the two companies announced an agreement late on a Saturday night, to say that, yeah, we've settled outside of court. And so basically HTC is going to be licensing Apple's, software patents for their devices, for their Android devices, for the foreseeable future. So, that means they won't have to keep using resources to fight each other. And I think it's great. I think it's a sign. It's another sign of Tim Cook, making his mark on the company, and doesn't really sound like something Steve Jobs would have done. And that's not to say
thermonuclear war on Android. This is not thermonuclear war. No. This is
this is holding hands, and you know, I don't really see, I don't see Samsung and Apple holding hands. But you know, it's a good sign. It's a good sign that Apple is willing to, you know, license like this, and hopefully they'll license more in the future.
Do you think Tim Cook said something along the lines of, "Hey y'all, I don't want to fight with you no more. Can we just hold hands?"
That's exactly what he sounds like, Irfan.
And then that was the end of the negotiations.
That's it. That's all it took.
We're going to double down on licensing.
We're going to double down on holding hands, y'all. Hey, I thought that, correct me if I'm wrong, and I hope this doesn't sound racist in any way, shape, or form, but Asian men like to hold hands, don't they? Like, that's something that Asian men do, like Chinese men.
I cannot believe you just said that.
I'm dead serious. Like, I've heard that it's a custom. Or not a custom, but it's very normal for two grown men to hold hands and walk.
It's in the Middle East, isn't it? I don't think it's in Asia.
I don't think that's a Middle East thing.
It's a Middle Eastern thing for sure.
I don't know, but I heard that Asian men do it too. Not all Asian men, of course. I think Chinese men.
Now what? We're all making these kind of.
Yeah, we just alienated cultural, all of our Asian male listeners.
Do you guys think that was offensive?
Yeah, anytime you even if it's innocent, you can't bring up, like, you know, race or culture without courting some, you know, backlash.
Wow. See, I think as long as it's good nature that people don't care.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the other thing is we're all ignorant. I don't know. Do the Chinese men hold hands? I haven't seen it here in San Francisco.
I don't know. Nope.
That needs to be on a t-shirt.
I mean, if you don't see it in San Francisco, then probably not.
Okay, yeah, now exactly. You're crossing a line.
See all kinds of men holding hands in San Francisco, but not Chinese.
There,
men.
Now we just alienated everyone in San Francisco.
Who else can we bring into this?
I just want, for the record, unlike Alex and Leander, I have no prejudices.
Oh, really?
I love all people in all shapes and form. And by the way, part of my family is Middle Eastern, and I don't really see the men in that culture holding hands very often.
Well, they did in Egypt a lot. They all
Well, that's, yeah, I guess in Egypt. I mean, it's hard to talk about these huge areas of the world because I know there's so many different cultures in each of these areas that we are obviously very ignorant to.
Don't the Saudis hold hands as well?
I think that is true. Yeah, but I don't know.
I can't believe we're having this discussion.
Okay, let's move on to more. I was going to say more Apple news, but this is actually Microsoft.
Why don't we
news.
Talk about something we know something yeah. about?
Yeah. Well, then in that case, we just have to stop the show.
Yeah, right. I could talk about my meatball sandwich I'm looking forward to.
Oh, you're going to eat a meatball sandwich? You're
I was
make
thinking
me
about it. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's make it through the rest of the cult cast, and then you can get to your sandwich. Let's talk about Microsoft. Have you guys seen these new commercials that they're broadcasting with all these huge celebrities using their Windows 8 phone?
Mm.
Have you seen any of them? No?
I haven't actually seen them, but no.
Okay, well, they're online.
I like the Windows 8.
I heard about...
Pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I heard about Machine Gun Kelly getting pulled out of an Apple store or Microsoft store when he's doing a performance, but I know they bring in like random celebrities.
Well, Microsoft is using Jay-Z reportedly, and this is The Verge reporting this, Gwen Stefani. They did one, a commercial with Will Arnett. And these like really super famous actors are talking about how much they love their Windows phones. And I was just like, I'm a fan
Seacrest
of Microsoft.
Yeah. Ryan Seacrest loves Windows.
Oh, yeah. And when we saw him at CES talking to Bomb Dog, yeah. He was just in love with Windows, too. He was and like,
really, really sincere. Yeah. You can really believe it.
I could tell on his face, like in the back of his mind, he was thinking, how fast can we get this over with so I can get my check and get on my helicopter and leave and go back to LA?
Yeah. Because
he did not care at all.
Jessica Alba was at the last event.
She was.
Yeah, she was the.
Oh my
yeah.
Gosh. When I see Microsoft use celebrities like this, I mean, this is like the Microsoft Windows strategy. It's like pick one celebrity who really identifies with your brand and make a great commercial.
Well, yeah.
Don't
wait
use
a second.
Eight Apple's, different freaking celebrities.
Apple's doing the same thing with the Siri.
Yeah. Yeah, but somehow
Samuel
it makes
Jackson,
it cooler.
Samuel Jackson.
They haven't done that in a while though.
And in fact, I think the Windows celebrities are better than the Apple celebrities.
No. Martin, they had...
They had Kesha using a Windows 8 phone. Don't tell me
Martin
you like
Scorsese.
Her.
Who wouldn't want to see an Apple keynote with Alec Baldwin and Tim Cook?
Oh,
well, that'd
that would
be awesome.
Great.
But Malkovich, though? I mean, he just looked sour and weird.
Well, he was just being himself.
Yeah, no, just totally off-putting. Will Arnett is much, you know.
He is. Yeah. His commercial appealing. Was actually was pretty funny, but
I think Christopher Walken needs to do an Apple commercial.
Oh, it's my favorite phone.
The iPhone 7, 3 feet tall. Oh.
I agree. I think they need to make that happen.
Yeah.
I just, it makes me sad because I, you know, even if the Windows Phone is cool and people love it, using these like super, super popular celebrities who probably use an iPhone, let's be honest. Like, does Kesha use a Windows 8 phone? No. You know, it's Gwen Stefani.
Kesha doesn't use a phone. JC, she's on crack.
Yeah, she probably doesn't even have a phone. And if she does, she uses it to intake her cocaine lines. But Jay-Z probably uses an iPhone. You know, like, I just think it's sad that they have to get these big celebrities to pimp their products. It's like, if the products were just cool, I think they would sell themselves. Not to say that they're not cool. Some people really love them. I'm not the biggest fan of them. But, and I also wasn't a fan of the Apple commercials, to your point, Leander, that use like Samuel L. Jackson and
those
celebrities.
Those.
I just thought they were corny.
Zooey Deschanel. My God, that ad.
That one was not good. That one was not good.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
Oh, you liked that one?
I'm sorry,
the meme of the internet when she goes to the window and she's like, Siri, what's the weather like outside? It's like, just put your hand forward and move the curtain 45 degrees to the right.
I can't even get involved in this conversation.
All right, well, since you don't want to talk anymore about that, let me tell you guys a little bit more about DigiDNA. DigiDNA has been a sponsor of our show for a while, and we really appreciate that because it helps us bring you this delightful content, as you can hear from the last 40 minutes. Yeah. This might be the last show they ever sponsor, but since it's going to be their last sponsorship, I'm going to really give this all. They make a product called DiskAid 5 that does all sorts of really cool stuff. First and foremost, it allows you to access the file system on your iPad, your iPhone, and what that means is you can browse through your photo section. You could browse through your voicemails and download those to your computer if you want. You could download and upload videos to your iPhone. Anything that's stored on your iPhone, you can see and you can download down to and upload to back onto your iPhone or your iPad. So it gives you a lot more freedom because now you don't have to use iTunes to do a lot of this stuff. Like, let's say, for instance, you're getting on a plane, you want to watch a video, the video's not on your iPhone. You can just drag and drop it onto your iPhone with DiskAid 5. And then DigiDNA makes a free app called File App. It's on the App Store. It's free. And then you can use File App to actually watch the video without ever having to sync to iTunes. So it saves you time. But of course, the really powerful feature of DiskAid 5 is that it allows you to download like voicemails, call logs. I mean, things that you would never be able to have access to on your iPhone or iPad. You know, that stuff just gets locked on there forever. And a lot of our listeners have used it for downloading voicemails from like their grandparents that have passed away, that type of thing. Really, really powerful software, really cool software. Now, if you want to try it out, go to digidna.net, click on the huge DiskAid icon, download it. It's free. And a lot of the basic features are free. You don't have to pay anything to use it. And if you decide that you love it and you want to pay for the more pro features, you can do that. Just use the code THECULTCAST at checkout, and you'll save 30% off your order. And you can also try to win a copy on our Facebook page. We've been giving away licenses, as I mentioned earlier. Head to our Facebook page. Let us know why you deserve a copy of DiskAid 5. And we'll be picking two winners on Monday and announcing those. And you'll get a license for free. And, you know, I really appreciate the folks at DigiDNA sponsoring our show. And if you do as well, because I know some of you have been listening for a long time, if you would, just hop on Twitter, and they're at DigiDNA, and just let them know that you're grateful that they're sponsoring the CultCast and helping us bring you this delightful content, because that makes a big difference, too. I mean, they are really keen on being involved in the Apple community, and I'm sure they would love to hear from you guys. And just give them a thanks, and that would be great. So DigiDNA.net. Thanks for your sponsorship, guys. Hey, you know what I want to talk about next? As I go to my notes, as I vamp while I go to my notes. This was really cool. Apple has implemented a Blue Sky program. And basically what this is they're going to be giving, I don't think all employees, but select employees, 2 weeks of paid time to work on whatever they want. This is kind of like that Google program where they let employees work on whatever they want 1 day a week. And I think this is really awesome because they weren't doing anything previously to this that was anything like it. And one of the things about Apple, you know, being strong in the future is they have to keep innovating. And do you guys think that something like this would help them come out with new products that maybe they otherwise wouldn't have ever thought of? Leander?
Sorry, I wasn't listening. Say it again.
Alex?
yes. I think from the report and stuff said was, this has been in place for several months. So could have even, I think it might've even been actually, during the transition time when Cook was, starting to become CEO.
Yeah.
I think the mentality at Apple, I think corporately has always been, it's a privilege to work here. And, you should be thankful you're working here. They didn't have a lot of the perks. They haven't had a lot of the perks that a lot of other companies like Facebook and Microsoft and Google have, you know, free lunches and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. This type of thing is very typical for a Silicon Valley giant, company like Apple, but Apple hasn't done it until now. So I don't think it's necessarily a good or bad thing. I think it's just a sign of Apple evolving and again, becoming Tim Cook's company. And
it's going to be competitive, isn't it? There's so much competition. You could get, engineers could work at Google, Facebook, right, and Apple. I mean, they're all within a few blocks of each other. So
right, there was
Alex. Alex. Alex.
Steve Jobs.
Alex, stop talking. We cannot hear you, Alex. Alex.
Yeah.
There you go. We can hear you now.
Hey, I don't know what in the world just happened.
AT&T happened.
Yep.
Do you remember what you were saying?
Nope.
All right. Way to hold that thought, Alex.
I want to talk about this prediction I heard recently. Maybe you guys could tell me what you think. And this was that by 2020... I don't know why I emphasize that way. Apple's predicted to become the most powerful media company. And I thought this was an interesting point. And at first I was like, my initial knee-jerk reaction was like, what? No, like that's not going to happen. But then I started thinking about iTunes. And I started thinking about, how seamlessly different devices work with the Apple TV and how easy it is to broadcast media to your television, and how we haven't talked about it in a while, but Apple is obviously working on an actual Apple TV. Do you guys think that, 15 years from now, maybe even 10 years from now, we could see Apple becoming like the main media company, the place where you go to rent all your movies, not just download all your music and that type of thing?
I think certainly, yeah. I think it's, yeah, I mean, I think it depends on how they play their cards with the TV thing, but
I mean, that's kind of like the main piece, right? Like that's going to be the thing that they're hinging on, in my opinion.
Apple's not they are a media company, but they don't own the property, like they don't own the actual content. So I could see them becoming the most powerful, next gen cable provider or, something along that lines, more of a distributor, definitely. I'm not sure about, not like the equivalent of like a Hollywood studio, but as far as being a distributor, yeah, definitely.
Go ahead, Leander.
Well, yeah, they're not going to get into the content game. They're not going to become a content producer. They have the potential. There definitely is the potential for them to become the lead, one of the leading pipes, like, a 21st century cable company, that offers a lot of content a la carte. But, the trouble is that they've got to get the networks. They've got to get the big content producers, the movie studios, the TV studios, plus the sports networks. That's the most important thing. The sports companies have got to license, the sports franchises, NFL, NHL, that kind of stuff, over to a different distribution model. And the thing is, the current system isn't broken, not by any stretch of the imagination. The current cable and network content delivery system, TV, system. Apple was able to take advantage of, in the music business, back in the early 2000s was really in trouble because Napster and internet piracy was eating it alive. They were losing 10-20% of sales, of CD sales every year. They had to do something. So they opened up the doors to the iTunes, online store and started selling, music at $1 a pop through the iTunes store, making Apple the most, the biggest music retailer in the world. Within a few years, if the content producers started like making apps for for an Apple TV, so that you could get an NFL app, or maybe an HBO app. I mean, a lot of customers would love to do that. Could you imagine, you know, just buying an HBO app and just buying HBO content without to buy all the other crap? I mean, it would be awesome.
Can you already do the HBO stuff with the HBO Go app? I think you can.
Well, you have to be an HBO subscriber, but you have to get that subscription through a cable company.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
They haven't unbundled it.
Oh, they haven't. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, and there's no way they're going to do that. And there's no way HBO is going to do that, because that's where their money comes from. The cable companies give them billions of dollars every year to license HBO. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to route around. And even though, you know, I can't see Apple offering them a sweeter deal. I mean, they would have to pick up the same kind of terms that the cable companies currently offer. And they have to do that not just to HBO, but every other single content provider, including the sports franchises that are worth, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure they're worth billions of dollars.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, I think that's probably true.
That's the big problem, is that content licensing, you know, is getting around the cable companies, and they have a lock on this, and I don't see that lock getting broken until, you know, maybe in a few years, internet piracy, you know, there'll be some new kind of easy to use BitTorrent system that will allow people to get, you know, pirated content straight to their TVs with minimum fuss. I think that would be the kind of thing that would force the content providers to maybe go with somebody like Apple that offered a freer, cheaper, easier alternative, legal alternative. The same way that, you know, the same thing that happened with the iTunes back in the early 2000s. But until that happens, I don't think they're ever going to be a player.
No, I think you're absolutely right, because they already have the infrastructure in place, right? I mean, I think about how easy it is to send content from your iPad to your TV with an Apple TV. I mean, it works seamlessly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they already have the App Store. You can already buy music. I mean, content is content. I don't think it would be any different to, you know, give you a subscription service to HBO or to some, you know, network of movies. But, yeah, that's kind of the point we're at, is, like, I think Apple really wants to head in that direction, and they're definitely trying to. Whatever they can do to add value to make you buy their devices, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah, you can totally see glimpses of it. I mean, it would be great, wouldn't it, if you could have an Apple TV. If your TV already had the Apple TV AirPlay functionality built in, and you used your iPad as a way to find content to watch.
And to, like, control the experience on your television.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty compelling for a lot of people, because at the moment it's kind of difficult. You've got to go get the TV, you've got to go get, you know, you plug in your cable box, you plug in your Apple TV or your Boxy or your Roku box, and you know, sometimes a PC, and it's fractured. It's all over the place. You know, your Xbox, you can get some content through the Xbox, you know, like, say, Netflix. You get some content through your cable box. You know, it's kind of fractured at the moment. It definitely could be improved, especially if you had a really nice, if Apple brought in, you know, other kind of living room apps like Siri-based video conferencing.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and an easy to use sort of, like, you could imagine Apple turning the living room TV into the household computer, so that, you know, you could control, you know, say, the heating and the lights, you know, through an interface, at, you know, some kind of TV interface.
So yeah, you could control your Nest thermostat.
Yeah, right, exactly. You can imagine the TV, couldn't you, being like, you know, what the iPad is for mobile, the Apple TV, or an Apple TV, a TV. Could be, you know, could do the same thing for the home environment. Hmm. You know, running a calendar, you know, video conferencing, easy tweeting, Facebook updates, you know, for the family.
I hope we get there. I really do. It would be so awesome to do all that stuff that you just said, and I think that's definitely a possibility. But yeah, the big thing is going to be whether or not these companies that are still making zillions of dollars selling you DVDs, which aren't even HD content, which blows my mind. That, you know, that they make so much money doing that, they don't want to give control over their content to Apple, because, you know, what Apple's going to do is lower the price, right?
Yeah.
And take a big cut of it. So it's definitely an interesting conversation. We'll see how the next 10 years plays out. But hey, guys, let's wrap up the show, this seamless show that we've had today, with one of our favorite segments. It's called Faves and Raves. I know you guys love it. And it's the show, or it's the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps, and then vote on which one's best. I've got a pretty great pick today, and I know, Leander, you were saying before the show that you've got something that pretty much is unbeatable, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't tell if you're being serious or not. So, Alex, you got something picked out?
Yeah, but I'm not going first.
Okay. Leander, do you want to start? You want to lead off?
All right. So it's a new app. It's a very simple app. It's called Dark Skies, and it gives you, it's a weather warning app. It tells you if there's inclement weather headed your way.
I picked this 2 months ago.
Oh, you did?
Did it win?
And you called it crap.
Oh, did I? Oh, yes. Well, I've just started using it, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, well,
look, do you remember? No, do you remember? I was talking about the rain notifications. You go, I'm not going to bloody wait for the rain. I'm just going to look out my window.
This is the great thing about this segment is it's impossible to remember who's pitched what. Yeah. And then you can start using it, and like you would have like.
I remember. I live in bloody Southern California. I don't need to worry about the rain.
Well, you got the accent spot on, so that makes me think that that's exactly what he said.
Yeah, I kind of remember now being skeptical about some crappy weather.
I would love for you to pitch this. Go ahead, pitch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, please continue, Leander.
All right, well, I like it a lot. I think first of all, it warned me about this rainstorm, so I ducked into a cafe and I waited it out. That was great for a start.
So, like, it warned you about the weather changing and it actually was right?
Yeah, it said there's a storm coming and it gave me like 10 minutes warning. It appeared as a notification on my iPhone screen.
Interesting.
And, I could kind of tell it was going to rain.
Yeah.
But I thought I thought it was kind of cool because it marries your GPS location with a radar, with a radar weather forecast. Mm-hmm. So it's very very localized. Anywhere you are, it'll tell you if there's a storm approaching. It's actually nicely done. It's a beautiful app to look at. The notifications seem to be really cool. Mm-hmm. So I was quite impressed with it. It's a very simple idea for a weather app that I thought was really well executed. That's why I liked it.
Alex, can you tell me your pick and Leander's pick 2 months from now?
Oh my gosh.
I know, I'll make a note here.
It is hard to keep track of these. And it's like you pick something that may not sound cool 2 months from now, and you're like, oh, you pitched this? Well, it sounds so
I really like this Monty Python app. I've been using Grove's bamboo iPhone 5 case for the past like 3 weeks or so, and I've got a review coming. But this thing, Grove, GROVE, and they are awesome. They are it's American made. It's a tiny little company in Oregon, and they take each order, and you got to look these things up online because it's a solid block of bamboo.
Oh, right, I'm looking at it now. Yeah,
that they precision mill for the iPhone 5, and they put a little bumper on the front. And it's just gorgeous, and you can order custom engravings. So people get all kinds of really intricate, detailed, really cool engravings in the wood. And so each one is kind of unique.
Yeah, and 10 to 14 weeks to make you one.
Right. Well, it's because they show pictures of their process. I mean, it's literally these guys, there's not a lot of them. There's, I think, eight of them that work for this company, and they're there in the shop, with the wood, cutting this stuff and sanding it down. And, they hand write, little thank you notes for every order.
Yeah.
And just really, they put a lot of care into their work, and it shows. And it's a very well designed, sturdy but light too, because it's bamboo case for the iPhone 5. It's my favorite that I've used so far.
Wow. The pictures on their website. This thing is beautiful. And they infuse the bamboo to the bumper that's on the front of it. I think that's really unique because a lot of times you just see. A wooden case. It doesn't have a bumper on the front too.
Yeah. The little bumper is great because it protects the screen and it's, it's all eco-friendly. It's all, renewable bamboo and all that kind of thing. And it's really nice, really solid.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah. They cost $80.
Inscribed one, right?
Right.
The one without any.
Which
type
is just
of,
what you get for this kind of quality of work.
Gotcha.
But
gotcha.
Really
solid. Looks cool. Okay, that's cool. And you can go to grovemade.com if you want to check those out. Mine's gonna lose, but I'm still gonna pick it because I think there are gonna be people out there who are gonna be interested in it. So, I was able to tear myself away from a new video game that I got recently called Black Ops 2. It's for Xbox. And they have this really cool app that they released for the iPhone that lets you view all your stats for the game. So you can view your kill-death ratio, your kills per minute. All the information that you want to know about the games that you play are available in this app. And it just updated it. And the iPhone UI has been totally revamped, and they've totally redone it. And it also has a lot more features than the old version, but also they released an iPad version finally, they said they were going to do this a year ago when they came out with Modern Warfare 3, and they had all sorts of problems, ended up not releasing it until now. So now there's a really beautiful Elite app. I think it's called Call of Duty Elite is the name of the app specifically, if you want to search for it in the App Store. And it's available for iPhone and iPad now natively and in beautiful Retina quality. So I recommend you check that out. If you're a Call of Duty player, you probably already know about it. But if you don't, you definitely need to download it because, I mean, it gives you so much information about everything you want to know about what's going on in the game. And it's free. So I would check that out. I have a feeling that no one's going to vote for mine.
How did you guess that?
Because you guys are not Call of Duty players, so you're like, why would I ever use this?
And my kids are bugging me to get it for them. I'm like, no.
Oh, see, your kids would vote for me. That's one reason to go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go first because I feel like I never get to vote first. I'm voting for yours, Alex, because that sounds really awesome. And I really love it when companies make stuff in America.
Yep.
That's really awesome. And looking at these on their website, boy, they sure are beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm a nude guy myself. I prefer
you like case. To be nude.
Yeah. I like to be nude. I like to go commando, as it
crazy.
Were.
Crazy. Yeah, you crazy coast
about
people.
My iPhone. And yeah. So these things look really beautiful. Is this a turkey? I think they have that's an eagle. I was like, why would they put a turkey on the back, inscribe a turkey on the back of one of these bamboo cases? Okay. don't ask me.
Oh, you know what? I wonder if they would I need to ask them if they can send me one with a Cult of Mac logo in the back. That would be sweet.
That would be really cool. Maybe they can make us like a cult cast one for a giveaway or something.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. All right, Leander, what's your pick?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I got to go with Alex's too. And they do look gorgeous. These engravings, the laser engraving on the back looks really, really nice.
They look beautiful.
Even the turkey one.
Do you see why it looks like a turkey?
It does. It totally looks like a turkey.
It's because they put like that, and I don't know, it was like a sun or something above its head, rising above its head.
Right. It looks like the
it's
crown.
It's an eagle with a sun rising above its head. Yes. But, oh, actually, and the way it's, the way it looks like a giant turkey. I'm really into turkeys. I really want something with a turkey inscribed in it.
Thanksgiving.
If that's you, this would be the perfect place to go. Okay, cool. Well, hey, guys, that's it. That's all the time we have for today. This has been one of the most seamless shows we've ever recorded. Absolutely
better,
no
better.
Problems whatsoever. I want to thank DigiDNA for sponsoring the show. Head over to digidna.net, download Discade 5, and they're at DigiDNA on Twitter if you want to give them a thanks for sponsoring our show. Please do that. I would appreciate it. I know they would too. And hey, you can ask us questions, suggest topics, all sorts of cool stuff on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TheCultCast. And of course, if you want to interact with us on Twitter, oh man, do we love that. Alex is at Alex E. Heath. Leander is L. Caney, K-A-H-N-E-Y. And I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, follow Cult of Mac on Twitter as well. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. We'll see you guys next time. Alex, what's the sound of the turkey makes?
Gobble, gobble.
That sounds accurate.
Fat Chinese people hold hands.
Right. And I honestly, I gotta look this up. Do Chinese men hold hands? Oh my gosh, Google is auto-completing my search, by the way.
Yeah, Google knows what's up.
Chinese male intimacy. I'm clicking on the very top link. Let's see what it says.
Gosh.
Okay, this may not be the site I wanted to look at here. Hold on. Okay, hold on. No one can deny that Chinese girls seem to be a lot more touchy-feely than the Western counterparts. You only need to take a stroll along a high street, blah, blah, blah. This is talking about women. Chinese men also can be closer in their personal relationships than most Western males and would find it comfortable to hold hands. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't say that. I'm adding that in. I don't know why I thought it said that. Hold on. hands.
Irfan, you can hold my hand.
Can I? That'd be so great.